Let's look this morning into the book of Ephesians again, chapter 2 and verse 10. Paul says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." This can be regarded as what many theologians describe as being an identification truth, because it identifies really what we are and who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's interesting, as you notice, this verse begins with the word "for," meaning that there's something is being carried on, that he is something further to say. Well, we go back to verse 8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." For, verse 10 begins, we are his workmanship. And by doing it that way, Paul is showing, once again, that it's not of ourselves, that it's not something we do, it's not by works of righteousness, but we're the work of God. Well, verse 8 also begins with the word "for." "For by grace are you saved," meaning that he is carrying on something else. And what was that? Well, we could go back to the very first part of the chapter, verses 1 through 3, give us this dark, dismal, depraved condition of all of mankind, being dead in trespasses and in sins. And then in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy with his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, by grace you're saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then, for by grace are you saved through faith," to show that the raising, the being seated, all of that is of the grace of God. So in these words, in verse 10, Paul is concluding his argument in favor of salvation without works by the free grace of God. These truths here effectually close the door against works as having any share in meriting salvation. Our new nature, first of all, is the workmanship of God. By Adam's transgression, every spark of spiritual life was utterly extinguished in the soul of man. It became dark, dead, corrupt, alienated from the life of God, entirely given up to Satan and his lust in every faculty and power and desire, hating God and resisting his holy will. Such were we when we were born into this world. But a new nature has been conferred. All those who believe have experienced this. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Well, who can create a new nature? Only God can do that. So this new creation is entirely the work of his power and will. It is the putting forth of the same omnipotence which called the universe out of nothing into its present being. It is the operation of the same agent which said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And it is the same operative power that you can read about in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 20, when God raised Jesus from the dead. It is the same power that God used to bring us to faith in his Son. Since the dead can neither will nor stir, so lifeless souls can make no effort of their own to obtain spiritual existence. Listen to how the scripture bears this out. In Psalms 100 and verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture." The Lord, he is God. Recently heard a well-known preacher make this statement: God is not running for God. God is not trying to be elected, get elected God. The Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And also in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. And Paul echoes this thought in Romans 9:21. Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? We are the workmanship of God. And then in Philippians 2, verse 12, Christians are called upon to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. In verse 13, unfortunately too many people stop at verse 12, but verse 13 has the first word "for" again, meaning here is a concluding argument. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We are his work. It implies a work of art, a work of poetry. In other words, we don't make ourselves Christians. Spurgeon, the well-known preacher, said, "You've seen a painter with his palette on his finger, and he has ugly little daubs of paint on the palette. What can he do with those spots? Go in and see the picture. What splendid painting." And even in an even wiser way does Jesus act toward us. He takes us, poor smudges of paint, and he makes the blessed pictures of his grace out of us. It is neither the brush nor the paint he uses, but it is the skill of his own hand which does it all. Well, we are something that is being made and fashioned by God as Christians. It is God who is the workman. It is God who acts everywhere. He made man. He made the world. Man sinned. God went after him. God called Abraham. God created the kings. It is God who called the prophets. It is God who gave the law. It is God who gave instructions about the tabernacle and the temple. And it was God who in the fullness of time sent forth his Son. So from beginning to end, it is the activity of God. Now the first thing that the sinner needs is life. He cannot ask for life, for he is dead. God gives him life, and he proves that he has it by believing the gospel. Quickening, making alive, is the first step. It is the first thing that happens. I do not ask to be quickened. If I asked to be quickened, I would not need to be quickened. I would already have life. God gives me life. He has quickened me together with Christ. Where is boasting? It is excluded. Salvation is altogether of God. And then look at the word "created." Now, this, of course, takes us right back to Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, what is creation? The very idea, the essential idea of creation is that something is made out of nothing. It was not there before, but it is now brought into being. That is the precise way in which Paul thinks of the Christian. God the creator, God the potter, the great maker, the great workman, has brought something into being in my life that was not there before, and that is what makes me a Christian. And then we notice this phrase, "in Christ Jesus." It is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, created in Christ Jesus. That is always the case. Now, we've already seen it in verses 4 through 7, where it tells us that God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, by grace you're saved, and he has raised us up together with Christ and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding kindness of the riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. God makes us Christians by applying to us, by mediating to us, that which he has done for us in Christ. We receive the benefits of his death. We receive the benefits of his life. We receive his very life itself. John, in his prologue of his gospel, in verse 4, he makes this statement, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Now, religious teaching says, well, no, the light is the life of men. The light leads to life. Well, in a sense, but that first and foremost, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Well, that is the New Testament idea of being Christians. Forget about your little works and decencies and moralities. Christ is being formed in you. Now, a further thing is this, according to Ephesians 2:10, we are created anew that we might perform good works. Now, this heavenly workmanship loves good and abhors evil. It seeks good and flees evil. The law of God is the rule and the delight of the man that is created anew in Christ Jesus. His language is as Paul stated in Romans 7:22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But don't be discouraged if you find, he goes on and tells us in that same chapter of Romans 7, another law. Don't be discouraged if you find another law in his members, warring against the law of his mind and bringing him into captivity to the law of sin, which is in his members. For the old nature does not expire when the new nature is implanted, but in the same person of the one believer, they coexist. The one is of God and cannot sin. The other is carnal and cannot but sin. So the constant struggle that Paul talks about in Galatians 5, verse 17, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But good works is the path in which the new nature is always striving to walk, the very course along which it pursues its way to heaven. But notice this particular description about it here in Ephesians 2:10. These good works are foreordained that we should walk in them. Now Hebrews 12:14 makes this statement, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. Sanctification as the road is ever connected with sovereign grace as the cause and glory as the consummation. Let me say that again. Sanctification as the road is always connected with sovereign grace as the cause and glory as the consummation. God has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, God has from the beginning chosen us to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Our calling and our election is made sure by adding to our faith every godly work. If God gives the new nature, works the works in us, sets them before us, guides us to them, supports us in them, he is the author. We are the clay, he is the potter, and to him all the glory is to be given. The psalmist made this statement in Psalms 138 and verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. You think he would? Of course not. He will perfect that which concerns every child of God. But think of the means that God uses to form Christ in us, to lead us in this way, to walk in the works that he has prepared. To begin with, the Holy Spirit fashions us into the image of Christ. We are saved, not necessarily to be saved from hell and to go to heaven, but we're saved to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29 points that out. Whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is, to be like Jesus. Well, the Holy Spirit fashions us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the means, first of all, that God uses to form Christ in us, that we may walk in the works that he has prepared before. And then secondly, he uses the word, the scriptures. John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. That's the means that God uses to form Christ in us. James 1:18, of his own will begot he us by the word of truth. And 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And then a third thing that God uses is the preaching of the word. We could look in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. He gave some apostles, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body, for the work of the ministry. The preaching of the word is instrumental. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This is one of the means that God uses to form Christ in us. And then a fourth thing, circumstances and chastening. The Bible tells us whom the Lord loved, he chastens. And that doesn't mean punishment. That means discipline. That means he is discipling. He is training. God chastens in order to perfect his children. Chastisement is training. Even at times when it appears that we are living really in obedience to God, God will chasten us. That is, he will train us. He'll bring something into our life or allow something to come that will seemingly trip us up. But God is using it to fashion us for his own purposes in grace. So these are some of the means that God uses to form Christ in us. But what is the actual work itself? Well, when this begins to take place, a person might become disturbed, convicted. Questions begin to arise in our mind. Where did they come from? Well, they come from God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit again. God troubles us, or causes us to be troubled, or allows us to be troubled, and then brings us to a state of conviction. We may ask questions, you know, what is the meaning of all of this? But it is God working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then a further thing, enlightening of the mind to see truth. Not only are we disturbed and convicted, but then we're led to the enlightenment of the mind to see the truth of God's will and his way. Things begin to make sense, though you may have heard it many times before. And then a further thing, we become aware of the new nature, a new outlook, a new desire, new powers. We are his workmanship. He is the potter, and we are the clay. And then what is the design of all of this? It is a process, and it will ultimately end in absolute certainty. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Nothing outside of us can ever prevent it. Nothing inside of us will ever prevent it. There are no rejects out of his factory. God's work is always perfect, and it is always complete. Now, is this happening to you? Can you say that you are God's workmanship? Are you desiring holiness? If you don't desire to be holy, I don't see how that you have any right to think that you're a Christian. When God looked upon you and loved you and began to work in you to make you a Christian, he had already prepared the works which you should live and perform and walk in. Not work in, but walk in. You see, there's no such thing as justification without sanctification. Christ of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. There's no value in a profession of Christianity unless it is accompanied by a desire to be like Christ, a desire to be rid of sin, a desire after positive holiness. According to this verse, God works in us to produce this result. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He is making us and shaping us and forming us for that.